Being the Worst, Episode 30, recorded Monday, June 3rd, 2013. From beingtheworst.com, it's the Being the Worst podcast, audio apprenticeships for the aspiring software craftsman, with your hosts, Kerry Street and Renat Abdulid. In this episode, Renat returns home from his trip to the United States, which was filled with milestones, memories, and marriage. The guys briefly catch up on some of the insights that were gained from looking over the fence at the Java ecosystem and how it has made more progress than .NET in specific areas. They wrap up with an intro to the DDD Summit and how things learned there and along the way will shape the upcoming episodes and code. And now, here are Kerry and Renat. Renat, it is June 3rd, 2013. It's been a while since we recorded anything because you probably have one of the busiest to-do lists I've ever seen. And you just did a few things in the last month. The things that I'm aware of are things like, oh, fly from Russia to the United States and meet Kerry in person for the first time. Maybe hop over to Hawaii and get married real quick. Have your 30th birthday somewhere in between there, which is episode 30, this one. So, hey, cool, man. It lines up really nicely there. Then you went off to this DDD Summit thing that I don't know too much about that I'm hoping we're going to get into. And I think you fit in like speaking at a user group about your design mistakes in Philadelphia. So you may have seen more of my country than I have in the last 30 days. And you also did major life events along the way. So what are you doing, man?
Well, currently just trying to get rested and get things back in line. Well, the journey was absolutely outstanding one and really packed with events. Well, starting, of course, of getting married with the most beautiful and loved woman in the world in Hawaii. Like, it was like a beautiful experience.
Well, congratulations again. I know I've said it before, but officially, now that you're married, congratulations now that you have a wife. And I got to meet her as well, and I agree. It was great to meet her. She's awesome.
Yes, she's gorgeous, absolutely.
Yes.
And so during the process, like, I wasn't doing almost any C# coding. I was reading a lot about Scala, Akka. I actually met Chris Patterson. I don't even remember which city was it in. Like, he's the guy who wrote the only sensible actor implementation in C# called Stacked. He's also author or one of the contributors to Mass Transit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Magnum Library. And Mass Transit being open source version of N-Service Bus. Well, it's like kind of sibling to N-Service Bus.
Yes, I saw that you had a chance to meet with Chris Patterson, I think in San Francisco or around there in the Northern California somewhere. And I was happy to see that because I reached out to him to see if he'd be willing to come on the show if we decided to get into the actor stuff. And he was totally open to that, which was cool. And then next thing I know, you're tweeting out that like, hey, I'm hanging out with Chris. We're talking about actors, big data and functional programming. So that worked out really well.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. So basically, one of the things I've learned from Chris and like that's kind of complement stuff I learned about Scala, Java, actually, and Akka, is that implementing actor library, like proper actor library, is really hard. Mm-hmm. And before this travel, I had this idea of maybe, hey, I was able to implement like a really small messaging library for Windows Azure, and maybe I could actually implement the entire actor framework on C# as well from the very scratch. Mm-hmm. And actually, like after spending time to look inside the what Akka is doing and how this stuff is implemented and talking with Chris Patterson, like we both agree that doing it is extremely hard and getting actors right would take an enormous amount of effort and time. Mm-hmm. Well, and for example, Erlang is a language like which is basically built on actors, and it took like lots of people just to get it started, like to get it running. Mm-hmm. And this also kind of led to an additional train of thought that actually, like, while being locked in .NET world for my entire development career, and I didn't know what actually is the perspective of the world outside. And diving into the Java world, which is actually from .NET perspective, is being told as something old, outdated, and horrible, was actually a refreshing experience, especially given the Scala language. So Scala language is one of the quite rapidly developing language that is built on top of Java Virtual Machine. So if you code something in Scala, it compiles into Java bytecode, mm-hmm. and it can run whenever Java is running. Mm-hmm. And actually, feature-wise and syntax-wise, Scala in some areas is almost as expressive as C#. And in some areas, it's even more expressive than C#. For example, this DSL syntax that we have in Locket CQRS projects, like we're using external DSL tool, Scala has this message-based semantics baked right into that.
Oh, nice.
And also Scala comes like with kind of sister project, well, two sister projects, actually. One sister project called Akka, which is an actor library for Scala and for Java, which is like designed to be used from Scala, actually. And the other one being Play Framework, which is a web side framework for Akka and Scala as well. And these languages are extremely expressive and really nice. And actually, after I started like digging into all that stuff, I discovered that there is even even sourcing implementation, even storm implementation for Akka. Or I think it's like, it's written in Scala and it's for Akka. It adds like event storages, it adds message delivery guarantees, it adds specific ordering stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Because by default, Akka, for example, doesn't provide any message delivery guarantees between actors in the default configuration. And also, like when I started looking deeper into the Akka, like the stuff that they have there, it's absolutely missing from .NET. For example, and in Java in general, they are building a cluster and like node cluster support into Akka. And like there are also other projects in Java that kind of allow you to build clusters of system, clusters of nodes, which kind of self-repair and self-figure out who is the master. But imagine you're building, for example, a backend for a hugely scalable mobile services platform, where you, like some, for example, something like Tumblr has done, or other companies, and you need to make sure that you can first scale your system horizontally by adding new nodes, and if in your system there are certain elements that where like one element must be the master, for example, ID generator or some coordinator service. And if this master goes down, that another node will take actually its responsibility. And if the cluster is split into, for example, into like one third is goes down, then the other nodes will actually rebalance. So in C# and actually in .NET, we have been trying to implement this code like in Locket CQRS in various environments. And sometimes we're failing. Event store project, which is driven by Greg Young, actually implements master slave support. However, like only the like single node is actually open source, and master slave support ability to elect master nodes and ability to kind of have this Paxos negotiation protocol, it's in closed source because it's something like that has a lot of value for the company and they decided not to make it public. And actually, if you look at into the Java space, even for the Akka project, there is already effort pushed to have this open source foundation for building master-slave configurations.
Akka doesn't have that either?
Yeah, well, there is like Akka will have that in future versions.
I see.
In C#, there is actually no code that would allow you, that would simplify your life in building like kind of cluster services or even services like that reside in the cloud and that kind of can do failover.
I see.
You have to build everything from scratch. And after starting to look at all the capabilities that are available in Scala and Java, I kind of came to the realization that if I ever have to do a really complicated master-slave project, like that would require like really complicated clusters, something that I was dreaming that C# would be used for. I would probably try to use Scala and Java. And as for the C# counterpart, for the .NET counterpart, there is no point to try to reach to add like full functionality of kind of actor-based framework of cluster-based cluster-supporting frameworks into C#, because that it would require too much effort and time, which is basically to make any other project impossible. And it would be better just to try to shape Locket CQRS and with frameworks below getting things done project in a slight way that it wouldn't be completely actors, but it might resemble something that can be used in actor framework. And if there is a need, we can actually migrate the code from C# to Scala without like much redesigns.
Okay.
So basically, I think, in Philadelphia, I was meeting Slava, who was one of the actual contributors to Locket CQRS, and his company is using Locket CQRS heavily. And a few design suggestions that we discussed are actually quite simple, and they might be helpful for getting things done project. And actually, speaking of the getting things done project, so after looking at Akka, after looking actually at Scala code and what we have in C# code, I think it's already quite overcomplicated.
Mm-hmm.
So getting things done code base, and actually the Locat Secure sample code base with our registrations and users, mm-hmm. it's too complicated for, basically it was over designed.
Okay.
So I think it should be possible to simplify the code and still have the same capabilities that are offered, for example, by the cloud computing environment, like which is promise of almost infinite scalability, of all this messaging failover, et cetera, et cetera.
And what, based on your current understanding, what are some of the attributes that make it seem over-designed, and how might we think about changing that?
Basically, it's along the lines of the discussions within the previous episode, where we were talking, for example, about the receptors, how they are receptors or ports, how they are artificial contract in Locat Secure-S.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was designed to cover some of the kind of design flaw or missing design piece,
mm-hmm.
coming from the conventions and practices available within the Secure-S community.
So it's not so much about the aggregates and domain-driven design and stuff that's over-designed. It's those fillers you needed to add into it to make them communicate with each other with those receptors and ports, and that's where it kind of gets a little hard to understand what's going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So aggregates per se, as something that kind of provides the scope for the transaction and joins multiple behaviors together, they're relatively well-developed concept, mm-hmm. and they're good. And that's fortunately something that we've invested a lot of time in. Oh, mm-hmm. that's where we invested most of our time in.
Yeah, I was going to say that just that alone, with the aggregates being sort of that boundary for, you know, state and everything like that, and how it's currently designed, that part seems pretty clear and not bad to me. It was the stuff you just said that was sort of getting a little confusing. So
yes, absolutely. So the receptors and ports, we will kind of need to rethink them a little bit. As I'm actually talking about rethinking receptors and ports in Getting Things Done project, well, and Being the Worst podcast, that's actually like a kind of tip of the iceberg, because I'm trying to do the same in look at internal projects as well, to make sure that the code base is more simple and more intuitive.
I see. Is that some of the feedback? Is that where Slav's feedback was focused on, was the receptors and ports and stuff like that?
Actually, no. Slav's feedback was mostly about projections, performance of Locat Secure-S,
mm-hmm.
because he tends to feed, for example, occasionally hundreds of thousands of messages into the queue.
I see.
Well, that's specifics of his project.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, Slav's concerns were mostly about the performance.
Okay.
And certain performance things when we can actually improve in Locat Secure-S without like much of shuffling around. And this would actually kind of extend the applicability of Locat Secure-S like to small and kind of medium-sized projects as well.
I see. So when we get into the upcoming episodes about to continue where we left off, you know, looking into different approaches to simplify, and the bottom line there is we're not going to go all in on the Actor framework for the reasons you just stated. And we think we can simplify some stuff, help with this receptor port stuff, maybe look into this performance stuff Slav was talking about, and simplify the code base. So maybe the GTD example evolves to make more sense to more people and becomes a more complete sample where we can start maybe putting clients on it and all that stuff, but not going crazy and trying to implement a full Actor framework in C#, which isn't currently easily possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also one of the subsequent things that we can do with Getting Things Done is actually start adding these registrations and users security things to the mix, how they're linking them together, not with the receptors, but in the trying to do something that is more intuitive than that doesn't add a lot of clutter.
Yeah.
And actually, like one of the other small things that I'm not sure if we discussed it, it's about chasing projections.
What does that refresh my memory? So if I remember that.
Okay. So basically, currently in Locat Secure-S and in all other projects that we've been talking about, the projection is something that subscribes to events and like handles events one by one.
Right.
And this actually creates two significant limitations. Mm-hmm. Limitation number one being is that we can fetch event only one by one. We process events only one by one.
Yeah, we did talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so this actually creates a huge overhead when we're talking about hundreds of thousands of events.
Mm-hmm.
Because like when the projection becomes too chatty, it doesn't allow any batching, and it will just slow down because of input-output operations.
Mm-hmm.
And second, it's because of this design, actually replay logic. Like we need to replay the projection, for example. We need to replay all events for the projection when we add a new projection or when we change the projection logic.
Right.
Because our projection is just a code that kind of pre-computes query result. It pre-computes cache.
Mm-hmm.
And then keeps it updated with the latest events as new events come in.
Right.
So if we define like that, now we will start caching new kind of data, pre-computing and caching it aggressively. This would mean that if this is completely totally new cache type, then we would first need to replay all events for the history and then start subscribing to new events.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, the logic in Locate SQRS is relatively complicated. We have this kind of smart reflection logic that when server starts up, it kind of scans, it does reverse engineering of its own code to detect if projection code has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And if projection code has changed, then for these projections that have changed or that were added, it will actually replay only these projections.
Right.
And third limitation is that we can store data only in key value storages, which makes it complicated for dealing with lists, for example, or indexes, because you have to keep either entire list in one key, or you need to start adding partitioning.
I see.
And if you have hundreds of thousands or millions of records in your list or index, then it becomes really complicated. So one of the actual simplifications that would reduce amount of the code and actually simplify the projection code is that instead of making projections subscribe to the events from some external source, we would actually pass reference to the event store into the projection. So inside the projection, the code will look like get latest 10,000 events from the event store.
Mm-hmm.
First load the checkpoint from some storage. Well, where checkpoint being like just position on the event store, like where how much we have read.
But is that like a snapshot kind of an idea?
It's not snapshot. Basically, it's a pointer to the latest event that we've seen.
Oh, okay.
ID of the last event that we've seen.
Okay.
So if this is a new projection and we load, so let's say the projection is customer, like big enterprise dashboard. So when this projection starts, it will try to load version ID from file large enterprise dashboard. And since the file doesn't exist, it will assume that it's at zero. So, and then it will start pulling the event storage for give me like next 10,000 events. It will process these 10,000 events. And then and processing means that it would probably aggregate them and save the results into some storage. It can be key value storage or it can be some database.
Okay.
Then after it had finished processing these 10,000 events, it will just update this checkpoint file with saying, okay, I'm at 10,000 events. And then it will repeat the process over and over again till it reaches the end of the event storage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will just keep on getting like the tail of the new events if they come in and just using them to update the storage implementation, like storage data.
I see.
So basically it's just a slightly different change to the logic. So instead of letting infrastructure pass events to us and kind of being decoupled from the infrastructure, in the projection logic, we accept that we're dealing with messages that flow as events in the event streams, and we explicitly manage these events. This is somewhat similar to the trick that we tried to do with actors,
mm-hmm.
Where we said that, okay, let's stop pretending that we live in the world without messages, and where we let messages to be passed to us by the infrastructure, and we would somehow magically pass the messages outside.
Mm-hmm.
With actors, we say that we accept that we live in the message-based world, and we start sending messages directly from the actor.
Right.
So it's a same kind of simplification. And based on a somewhat limited experience at Locad with big data, like 50, 70 gigabytes of large data sets that were used with event-sourced approach, this kind of approach to writing projection, not only it's much simpler and easier for the developers to write, but it also is capable of dealing with large data sets. So, for example, if you have a huge stream of events coming from, for example, some online messaging system, like something like Twitter, It would be much easier to write a projection that would, for example, aggregate and display stats for like what is the most frequent type of message that is being sent around, or what is the most active message sending person. And these projections would inherently be more scalable and fast performing.
That's good, because I can think of several things in my life that that might be applicable to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So it's really about, especially on the messaging front, embracing that. That's sort of where we're getting the near-term actor model influence, simplify some things, maybe help on performance, and use that approach for now, which is something we can actually achieve in the next few months instead of spending the next 18 months implementing a fully complete actor model, just so that we can do an experiment to see if the full actor model is what we actually wanted in GTD. That's just not a practical thing to do with our current language and .NET framework. So that's the approach we're going to take for now.
Yeah, absolutely. And also one of the side things is just to try to structure Locket CQRS in such a way that maybe it will not have full actor model behind it, but it will force you to write the code as if you were kind of targeting actor model. Then this would inherently make it first possible to actually pick at ACCA and all the actor-based reference manuals that teach you how to design a system and apply it in the C# world. And second, if you need to someday port this code to a full actor-based framework, whether it's in Scala, other language, or some true .NET implementation of actors, then it will be much more straightforward.
Yeah, because we're already starting to embrace some of those core principles that those approaches embrace, so it's not such a leap to get there.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I can't let you. I know that we were going to try to keep this episode relatively short so that I could edit it quickly and get it out there, because it's been a while since we published one, but I can't let you escape without at least digging into some hints about the DDD Summit and some highlights from there and what we may get into in future episodes, just so that we can share a lot of that great learning with the listeners. And before we get into that, if you could sort of just tell me, what is the DDD Summit? Like, who created that? What are you guys talking about when you're sending that hashtag around? What's going on there?
Okay, so DDD Summit is a small invite-based event by Eric Evans, who I think he started doing that 3 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago. He invites a few folks to come to Portland, Maine, and actually spend 3-5 days doing purely discussing the design, purely discussing the design concepts, and how actually to apply, like, what is the experience of applying DDD to production systems. And there are like some really smart folks coming there. I don't remember the names, but once Udi Dahan and Greg Young were there, Martin Fowler comes there, Cameron Party was there, and by some sheer accident and some probably typing mistake, I was invited there as well.
Nice.
Okay, and so basically within this year, the focus was of the summit was actually to kind of clarify and distill understanding of DDD, how it changed within like the years past since Eric Evans published his book, and how to make it more applicable to people, and actually like more applicable and less confusing, because actually the original DDD book is really, really confusing. You need to like read it in different order to be make it sense, or the actual original DDD book kind of merges and melts together actual strategic level guidance, like kind of strategic design, and actually patterns, tactical implementation patterns of DDD in Java. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't actually tell that these are just some of the patterns, and that actually there are many more patterns that are available there that work maybe even better in DDD, something like domain events, event sourcing, and actors. And actually some of the stuff that we're talking about is actual application of domain events to deal with big data problems based on Locket experience, or how actually actors fit into this DDD and aggregates and entities world, or how we would deal with workflows versus this ideal SAGA approach in real-world applications. Or how do you deal with user interfaces, and user interfaces actually part of the main model, or are they something separate?
I see.
And my suggestion would be to interleave our future discussions about the getting things done evolution and look at CQRS evolution with actually short summaries of the discussions and conclusions that were presented during DDD Summit.
I think that'd be great. And when appropriate, I know you tweeted out that some people there agreed to come on and talk about some of that stuff. So when the topics come up, if they're still willing, that would be great to have little mini detours into those topics and give the listeners and me some insight into what you guys are talking about and what you're learning there. I think I'm not aware of any other place where you can hear that information. So let's do it.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I think we'll wrap it up now because we're getting around the 20 minutes we were shooting for. I wanted to make sure that we laid out what we're talking about. So I think if you're listening now and wondering like, wow, there's a lot going on here. What are we doing? I was doing my sample code. I was waiting to get my next GTD episode so that I could keep evolving the code and practicing. And I think you just heard that's still what we intend to do. We are going to evolve that solution just like we planned in the past. It's just not exactly how we thought the spike was going to go. We have the results of the initial learning, and we just laid out here where we think we're going to go with it. So I think, Renat, in the upcoming episodes, fairly soon, we'll start seeing the GitHub repo for our project start changing a little bit based on the thoughts you laid out today. And when appropriate, we'll sprinkle in a little bit of DDD Summit goodness and other learning topics just to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yep. Well, in essence, we'll just continue staying being the worst, making a lot of stupid mistakes and trying to learn from these mistakes and from people which are much smarter than us.
Awesome. Cool. Well, until next time, we are at beingtheworst.com, at beingtheworst on Twitter. I'm at KC Street, and Renat is at Abdulin. Renat, when you get a chance, there's a lot of stuff all over the website with comments and questions, and I understood some of it, but not all of it. I don't know when you're going to have a chance to read all that, but there was some good dialogue. I just want to thank the several people on episode 29 that were really just took it in their own hands. And I basically said, hey, Renat's got a lot going on traveling around right now. Go for it. And the listeners were having good conversations and sharing links with each other. So that's exactly the kind of conversations and communication we were hoping we could get going over there. So really appreciate you guys for jumping in and start doing that. So keep it up, and we will try to jump in there as well.
I'll try to catch up with this episodes. And once again, thanks for listening, and talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Take it easy. Bye.